This morning, the scripture reading is from John chapter 7, verses 16 to 18. Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself. But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him." This is the word of God. In my life journey, however short or long it may be, I have encountered many people. Some were more successful than others. Some were more capable and skillful than others. Some were more talented than others. But if I were to choose one quality that I value the most in a person, it would be truthfulness. If you think about it, if a person is not truthful, then other wonderful qualities can potentially become even dangerous. An intelligent yet untruthful person can be more harmful than those less intelligent. A talented yet untruthful person can be detrimental to a society. Who then is a person of truth? What kind of a person is he or she? In today's text, we find how Jesus describes a person of truth. In verse 18 in particular, we read, "Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him." Jesus, in a way, gives a definition of a person of truth, and it seems to be an odd definition. But before we delve into this verse and the surrounding verses in detail, let us zoom out for a second to see the broader context in which this took place. If I were to pick one word that describes what is going on in the whole chapter of John chapter 7, I would choose the word confusion. Confusion about what? Confusion about who Jesus is. You and I know that Jesus was not just a nice, good teacher who taught people good morality. People, in fact, had trouble understanding him. They were bothered by him. They were even offended by what he said and did. Their expectation of the coming Messiah did not quite match with what they saw in him. Right before chapter 7 began, we read the Jews were arguing sharply among themselves because of Jesus' claim that he is the living bread that came from heaven. In fact, many of Jesus' disciples deserted him right after his teaching about this, and especially after hearing him say, no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. Even Jesus' own brothers were telling him to show himself to the world, saying that you ought to leave Galilee and go to Judea. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. We could gather from that their understanding, the brothers of Jesus' understanding of Jesus, was not much more than just a public figure. Some people thought Jesus was a good man. Others thought that he was a deceiver, even a demon-possessed person. Some were amazed by his teaching, saying no one ever spoke the way that this man does. Others were terribly upset to hear Jesus saying, "You do not know God, but I know him because I am from him and sent him." And this just really upset everybody to seize him and kill him. Jesus himself said, "The world hates me because I testify that what it does is evil." These are some of the bits and pieces of John chapter 7. So the context we read today is surrounded by these reports of confusion and chaos. And in the midst of these confusion, Jesus talks about a person of truth. He says that a person of truth is someone who seeks the glory of the one who sent him. And he contrasts this with someone who speaks on their own. Verse 18 once again, whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. And in these verses, in this verse, I would like to highlight three words, namely speaks, sent, and glory. Once again, speaks, sent, and glory. And as we observe the context within which this phrase is mentioned, we find that there are three qualities that define a person of truth. And these qualities can be expressed in questions. So I would like to encourage and challenge ourselves this morning to direct these questions to ourselves. The first question is, whose word? The second is, whose calling? And the third, whose glory? The first question, whose word? In verses 14 and 15, we read, previous to these verses that we have just read, not until halfway through the festival did Jesus go to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews were there amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having been taught? And the verses 16 through 18, which we see here, that come right after, is a response to the question, namely, how did this man get such learning without having been taught? Jesus answers this by saying that his teaching is not his own, but it comes from the one who sent him. His teaching does not originate from him. It comes from God. And right after that, he goes on saying that anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether his teaching comes from God or whether he speaks on his own. And this is very practically true. When we hear somebody talking about something, somebody preaching, we know that he's talking about himself or from God, if you are willing to do the will of God. In verse 18, he says that whoever speaks on his own does so to gain personal glory. The essence here, I believe, is word. Words are important. Words are important in our life. Words that we hear day to day form who we are. Words that we pay attention to shape us. Words that we hide in our hearts, the words that we sing, the words that we meditate upon, words that we memorize, words that we adhere to, words that we abide by, words that we follow, the words that we teach and proclaim impact us so much so that we can even say that our life is a result of words. Then the question is, whose word? What word? Whose word do we hear? Whose word do we listen to? Whose word do we hide in our hearts? Whose word do we follow? Whose word do we proclaim? Upon whose word do we establish our lives? By whose word do we live our daily routine lives? In our life journey, I believe these questions will ultimately and practically direct us. Matthew 13 gives the parable of a sower, where the word of God is likened to seed. Now, a seed has life within it, although it does not look like it's It's a living thing. It has life in it. It grows to be a tree that bears fruit. Seed is alive. In the same sense, the Word of God is alive. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is alive and active. God's Word is alive. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And we know that those who hear, those who hide, those who proclaim, follow, and live by God's word are men and women of truth. The second question for us is, who's calling? This is a question of who it is that sent us and sends us. Jesus says in today's text, my teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. And later on, he says, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. Notice the choice of the word send. He could have just said, my teaching is not my own. It comes from God. He could have said, he who seeks the glory of God is a man of truth. Why did he say the one who sent him? I believe that there is an implied message here. The implied message that is that a person of truth is a person who is deeply and sharply conscious of the one who sent him. In other words, a person of truth is someone who has a strong sense of calling. Auguste, in his famous book, The Call, says that there are two different kinds of callings in our life. One he calls a primary calling, the other he calls a secondary calling. The primary calling is God's calling us to himself. This is a calling that when God calls us by our names and says that we belong to him, God calls us and saves us. The secondary calling is God's calling to a particular place or a task as he invites us to participate in his work of the kingdom. And it is of utmost importance that that the primary call stays primary and the secondary as secondary. A person of truth is someone who has a sharp consciousness of both aspects of the calling. Have you ever been in a situation, in a workplace, a school, a relationship, where things were not just going right the way that you expected, and you get frustrated, you get depressed? So you end up asking yourself questions such as, what am I doing here? What is the purpose of my being here? And where is this place? I asked that question many and many times when I first came to Canada. What am I doing here? If you haven't had that experience yet, I'm sure that you will sometime. I found that it is not a particular circumstance that provides us a sense of security or stability, but it is a sense of calling that gives us a sense of security. As I met many people in my life, I can testify that those who have a strong sense of calling are those who are most stable and dependable. Let me introduce a friend of mine named Jeonghun Lim. Jeonghun is a friend of mine, but also a former student of mine, and now a Bible translation missionary to Malaysia, working with minority groups in that country. We know that a missionary's life is not an easy life. His family is living in a situation that is not comfortable, of course not. And there are always unforeseen dangers and health issues lurking around them. To make matters even worse, Jeonghun comes from a broken family. His mother and father have been divorced for a number of years, and his younger brother had been making lots and lots of troubles. So whenever he visits back home, there are lots of works that are awaiting him. He has to deal with many difficult family issues as well there. But an amazing thing is that whenever I see Jeonghun, his face shines so brightly. He looks really, really happy and secure. You could never guess that he is going through all kinds of troubles that I just described to you. Sometimes, this is the most amazing thing, he would call me from Malaysia to say, "How are you?" He's checking on me. He's trying to find out I'm doing good, and he wants to know if I have any prayer requests, all the way from mission field. Out of all the people that I know, I would think that he is the most secure and dependable person. And why is that? Because I know that he has a deep sense of calling. Calling of who he is and what he does. And there's another friend of mine, Young Ho. Pastor Young Ho was working with me at Handong University for a number of years as a chaplain. And I once asked him a question during one of those really tumultuous times. You know when those times come? There are a lot of confusions, tensions among us. A lot of arguments within our midst, in our midst. And I asked him this question. "Young Ho, we are in a mess. Do you ever want to go back to where you were?" Because he's from the States. Do you ever want to go back to the States? And this is what he said. "Junmo, if everything was perfect here, perhaps God would not have called me here. If everything was perfect here, there is no reason why I should be here." He had a deep sense of calling, and that deep sense of calling made him secure. A person of truth is a person who knows by whose calling that he or she lives. A person of truth is deeply conscious of the fact that God calls him or her his own, and it is God who called him where he is or she is. So we ask ourselves this question: do I have a sense of calling? Am I living today because of other factors? Am I doing what I'm doing now just because I'm feeling like it? Or is it because of God's call? A person of truth is a person of calling. The third and final question for us is the most obvious and yet most challenging one. Whose glory? Jesus said, "He who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him." The one who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man or woman of truth. So the question for us today is, whose glory do I seek? For whose honor do I live my life? Jesus said, "Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it." If I may extend this paradoxical truth, we may even say the following: if you live for your own honor, you will lose your own life. But if you live for the honor of Christ, you will gain your life. A life that seeks to honor Christ is a life of truth. But a life that seeks to honor oneself is a life of deceit. Now we may ask ourselves a more practical question. How then do we live our life glorifying God? For this question, I would like to direct our attention to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verses 23 to 28. But in particular, I would like for us to read John chapter 12, verses 27 and 28, where Jesus says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Jesus says, That is why he says, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Furthermore, he knew that he will glorify the Father as he fulfills his purpose on the cross. That is why he says, Father, glorify your name, right after. In sum, it is Jesus' death on the cross that glorified the Father ultimately. So how did Jesus glorify the Father? By his death. It is quite tempting for us to rationalize that I could glorify God more effectively if I am somehow on a pedestal, a place of influence, where the whole world can see me and admire me. But at least here, that is not the example that we see in Jesus. The previous two verses talk about this as well. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Our death brings life. This is how God is glorified. Jesus came as the bread of life. He came to become our food. Without food, we die. The purpose of food is to be eaten. It disappears as it provides life. And before Jesus took his cross, he performed a miracle feeding 5,000 plus people. And this miracle points to Jesus as the bread of life himself. But the story also invites us to be part of his life-giving ministry. In the story, if you remember, we hear Jesus saying, "You give them something to eat." And we know the rest of the story. Henry Nouwen describes the process of this life-giving work that Jesus invites us. He points out that there are four important words: taken, blessed, broken, and given. When we give our life to him, even though it may be like a small lunch of 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, God first takes hold of us. Taken. He takes us. Then he blesses us as he blessed the bread of fish, bread and fish. Thirdly, and this is the part that we probably may not like, as he broke the bread to feed the hungry, he also breaks us. Finally, as he distributed the bread and fish to feed the hungry, he will also use our life to feed the hungry. Jesus invites us to a life that glorifies the Father by giving our lives unto him to participate in this life-giving ministry. And as you think about what it means to live a life of glory that glorifies God, I would like to share a song that I wrote about this feeding 5,000 miracle. It's called Taken, and it's sung in Korean, but I have provided some rough English translation. 오 병이여 취하시듯 내 삶도 붙드시리 너는 내 것이라 칭하시며 진히 이끄시리 그 손 들어 축사하시듯 내 삶 축복하시리 마른 뼈와 같은 내 인생 생명수 마시리 오 병이여 나누시듯 내 삶도 깨뜨리시리 모난 부분 어두운 We live in a time of confusion, a time of chaos. People are still uncomfortable and even offended by the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe God calls us to a life of truth, to be a person of truth. As we seek to live our life of truth, let us ask ourselves, whose word, whose calling, and whose glory? Let us pray. Father, you are true, and you call us to be men and women of truth. Help us to be men and women of truth as we hear, listen, abide by, and proclaim your word. Help us to be men and women of truth as we live each day of our life, deeply conscious of the fact that we are called by you, that we are called by you to be your children, and that we are called by you to be where we are. Help us today to be men and women of truth as we seek your glory, not ours. As we say no to ourselves, but yes to you. As we participate in your life-giving ministry by our very life, by offering our very life to you. It is in Jesus' name that we pray.